Turn with me, if you would, back to Psalm 39. And I want to say, I was just thinking about this and praying about this 30 seconds ago. Today is a gray, rainy day. And we all know that gray, rainy days are sleepy days. When the sun is shining and bright, it's a very energized day. And I have something here that is, I believe, very important. And I just want to ask all of us to beg the Lord to quicken us with some sunlight inside. Sunlight in the soul, sunlight in the eyes, sunlight in the ears. I just told Brother Cody a minute ago that I said, I don't know if I've ever heard a message or Bible study right before I was about to preach that went so closely with what I was about to say. It's kind of a joke with men sometimes. They'll get up and say, well, you preached everything I was about to say. Well, if you heard that Bible study, it was a very important, serious Bible study. Something's coming. And I just asked the Lord if He would to open our eyes and ears and help us. Help us to see this, know this, learn from this, worship Him because of it. I have this message, I believe, is a message for the real world that we live in. The real world that we live in today. This message is for the reality of life. There is a reality of life that as we get older, we realize it more and more. And all of God's people, especially, will come to this reality. All of God's people, this reality of daily living. And I want to tell you that I have a message of hope today. How many times did you hear him mention that? I have a message of hope today. But there is a place that all of God's people are going to be brought to, and I want to say that it's a little bit of a painful process getting to this place. All of God's people, though, are going to be brought to this place. And once they are brought to this place, they will be so glad that they are there. I'm telling you, if you want to be glad and you want a little sunlight in your life, there is a place that all of God's people are going to be brought to. God is going to lead them there. God's Spirit is going to lead them there. And I'm going to say again, it is a painful process getting to this place. But once we are there, God's people are so glad. They're so thankful to be there. They are so thankful to be there. It's the place where a sinner realizes Christ is all I have. Now, you know, in me saying that, it's a little bit of a painful process getting to that place. But those of you who are at that place and have been at that place, can't you say with absolute sincerity and truth in your heart, I am so glad the Lord brought me here. I am so thankful. Knowing what the Lord has revealed in His Word, I am so thankful that I can honestly say, Christ is all I have. What do you mean, Gabe? You have a wife, you have children, you have a home, you have a job, you have a this. That's right. That's right. And I enjoy all of them. All of these gifts from above that He gives on loan. And I believe that's a good way to see it. Everything that we have is on loan from Him. Everything is in His hands to do with whatever He wants to do with it because all things belong to Him. Everything that I have is just borrowed from Him. The air I breathe is borrowed from Him. But when it comes to my possession, the only thing I have is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given himself to me. And I can say I have him. Because of him, he's all that I have. We will find out that everything that we think we have, as it turns out, we don't. We think we have it, but it'll turn out, it'll be proven to us, we really don't. We really don't. Christ is all we have. Now, the heading at the top of my page here in Psalm 39, it says that this psalm is about the brevity and vanity of life. And what that means is just how short it really is. It blows my mind that in October I will have been the pastor here for 9 years. That doesn't sound like that long, but I just cannot believe that. It just seems like such a short period of time. And in that short period of time, again, we'll be saying right at 20 years. And I wonder who all will still be here, you know, when we get to that place of saying 20 years. It is so short. It is so short. I'm telling you, I was a teenager 3 days ago. That's what it feels like. I asked my grandmother one time. She was in her 50s. I said, what does it feel like to be old? I was a little kid. And she said, I feel just like you. I just can't do the same things you can do anymore. Feels the same. It is so short. It is so short. You know, you got little children, teenagers, young adults, married, children, grandchildren, such on and so forth. I'm telling you, it is so short. And he's mentioning the brevity and the vanity of life. What that means is how empty it really is. And again, I enjoy the things the Lord has given me on loan. But do you recognize the fact that once you get something you wanted so bad, it does not fulfill your happiness for the rest of your life? Eventually it fades away, and you need something else so bad, and then it starts to fade away, and you need something else so bad just to look forward to something and be happy about something in this life. That's because that thing really did not fulfill and satisfy what you thought it would. It's really empty. But do you know Christ is not that way? Once a sinner really gets him, he doesn't fade away. And he doesn't get put on the back burner. Not when a sinner really gets him. It is truly, and I'm telling you from a little bit of experience, it is truly a painful process getting to this realization. But, you know, as sad and as bleak as all of this sounds so far, God's people are so thankful he brought me here. So thankful. That's the place when God's people truly realize, and it's confirmed in them, what David said at the end of verse 7. If you look with me at Psalm 39, the end of verse 7, he said, my hope is in thee. My hope is in thee. You look back on your life and you realize there was a time when my hope might have been in this trivial thing over here somewhere. You know, I was hoping. I was putting my hope in this. But that turned out to be empty. And then I went at another time in life and I put my hope in something over here. I had my hope in that. And if anyone has traveled through religion, especially, you'll know that's to be true. You kind of get under one teaching for a while and they say, if you put your hope in baptism, you'll... And then come to find out, according to the Word of God, that wasn't so. And then you go somewhere else and they'll say, well, if you put your hope over here, then come to find out that wasn't so either. One by one, the promises of the world will fail us. I'm so sorry to say. One by one, the securities of this world will get stripped away from us. And it's a reality of life, and it's a painful reality. Very, very painful. But thank God, after everything in this world fails a child of God, that child is left standing with a clear vision, a clear conviction that looks to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Alone. And it cries, my hope is in you. My hope is in you. You are all I have. You're all that I have. Everything else has crumbled. Every hindrance that stood in the way of my view of you has been stripped away from me. And that's what a lot of these things are that we're just so happy to get. Can't wait to get it. It's a hindrance standing in the way of Christ. Something dazzling me and stealing my attention and stealing my affection away from Him. And God's people, once that's gone, they can say, I now know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that you're able to keep me. And you're able to keep me from falling away just like everything else has. And crumbling just like everything else has. My hope is in thee. I'll give you a good example of this. This very thing happened to Isaiah. Turn with me over to Isaiah chapter 6. I'm going to read a little something to you here. The scripture tells us that Isaiah's father, his name was Amoz, and he was the uncle of King Uzziah. All right, it's reported that he was the uncle of King Uzziah. And what that would make Isaiah and Uzziah is first cousins. And Isaiah was an official in Uzziah's court. He was a recorder of the things that one man said he was like a journalist who recorded all the great things that Uzziah did. He just followed him around and recorded all those things, and always in the king's presence. And the point being is he lived a very worry-free life. I mean, he was always with the king. And the king was his cousin. They were family. And he worshiped Uzziah. Uzziah was everything. And you know the story that Uzziah was lifted up with pride, and he did not want to wait on God's high priest to make intercession for the sin of the people. And he went in and he said, I'll do it myself. I'll do it by my own hand, which is a picture of man's works. And God said, no, you won't. So he struck him with leprosy. And he died. And when he died, Isaiah's security died. His king, his earthly king died. His cousin died. Everything his hope was in died. And if you look at Isaiah 6 verse 1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, that's when I saw the Lord. I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have now seen the King. He said, I've spent all my life looking at the King. And the Lord removed him. And he said, now I have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. That's what happens for all of God's people. Whatever their Uzziah is, it's removed. The Lord removes it, and they see Christ alone. They really do. Now go with me back to Psalm 39. Let's read these verses together. And let's see David being in this place, all right? David's emptiness, if we can say it that way. The reality that David was brought to. And I want to see if we have the same reality. Let's see if the Lord has brought us to the same end. The end of this reality is a sure hope. A very sure hope. And I pray that we'll all realize that if it takes us coming to this reality to see our hope, then Lord, bring us to this reality. Bring us here. As painful as it may be, it's a blessed reality. You know, David said in Psalm 119, it's good for me that I've been afflicted. Why, David? It's shown me you. It's shown me your word, the truth of your word. So it's a good thing. All right, now here was David's reality he's brought to. Verse 1, Psalm 39, he said, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. He was brought to a place where he said, I think it's time I stop talking. I think it's time I hold my peace. Have you ever been there? Most people hope in themselves, and they trust and hope in their own wisdom. Most people do. They trust in their own opinions, and they spout them off constantly. Do you know that? Men and women, if they have an opinion on something, they'll tell you. I'm horrible about that. I wish I wasn't, but I'll catch myself. Why don't you keep that to yourself? When the Lord reveals to a sinner, you are not what you thought you were, and you don't know what you think you know. When the Lord strips our hope away from ourselves, we'll say, just like Job did, we'll say, I think it's time I put my hand over my mouth. That's where Job, that's the place Job was brought to. I think I need to stop talking. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 5, he said, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. David said, the Lord let me learn some things about myself, and now I have to say, I think it's best I just stop talking. I think it's best I let him do all the talking. That's a good place to be brought to. I think it's best to let him do all the talking. So verse 1, he said, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. He said, I held my peace until I just couldn't hold it any longer, because I had to acknowledge something to my Lord. Not to myself, not to anybody else. I had to make a request to my Lord. Verse 4. He said, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Moses wrote, oh, that they were wise and would consider their latter end. He said, make me to know my end. Why would he want to know that? Why would any of God's people want to know that? It's because the more that we know of the end of our days on this earth, the more we know of our eternal days to come. The eternity that's coming with the Lord Jesus Christ. The more that we know of our frailty, and this is so, the more that we know of our weakness, the more that we know of His strength. David said in Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You're with me. And because of that, he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He said, you've made me to know my end. In Psalm 27, he said, I would have fainted. And I quote this all the time, and I believe every time I quote it, I enter into it a little bit more. I would have fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I just don't know if I could finish this out had it not been for the Lord revealing His goodness in the land of the living, the life that is to come. He was saying, I know my weakness. I know my frailty. I know I would have fainted had my Lord not revealed to me my end. We talk about make me to know my end. Yeah, there's an end coming on this earth. But what he's saying is, Lord, make me to know my end. He said, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. How will he do that? By making you to know your end. That's the end of all of God's people. Life with Christ. David said, cause me to know my frailty and my end, so I can see Christ's strength in His eternal beginning. And that's what it is with Christ. It's always the beginning with Him. Always. It's always the beginning. Verse 5, he said, behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth. He said, my days can be varied. They can be measured very quickly. A handbreadth. What's your life? It's a handbreadth. That's all that it is. He went on to say, and mine age is as nothing before thee. You know, with each milestone age that we reach, we get a little bit more prideful. I do. I won't speak on your behalf. I'll just speak on my own. All right? With every milestone age I have ever reached, it's a little more prideful. It starts off with every year, or maybe not even every year. I'm 5. Well, I'm 5 and a half. Isn't that what kids do? You finally make it to 10. You got 2 digits in your age at 10. That's a big number for kids. 13. Man, we're moving on up. You remember what it felt like to turn 13? 16. Forget it. 18. 21. 25. 30. 40. 50, 60, 70, 75, 80, 85, 90, 91, 92. When you get to 90, you go back to counting every year again. I'm 91. So I'm 91 and a half. Same thing all over again. But honestly, compared to the eternality, the eternalness of Christ, is this not what our brother just pointed out to us? My age is nothing. What David is saying is, this is the place he's brought me to. It's not about me. All of those milestones are about me. I've reached a place now where you beneath me really ought to start listening to me. I got a little bit more wisdom on me now. David said he's brought me to a place where I realize it's not about me. And it's not about my wisdom. He's the one who cried, not unto us. Who am I? Think about Methuselah, 969 years. That man probably said, I've been around a while. Y'all really ought to listen to what I have to say. We probably should, but David said, my age is nothing. It is nothing. Men and women naturally think, listen to this. Men and women naturally think, we all do. I'll lump myself into this. We naturally think, well, there's always tomorrow. No, there's not. No, there's not. There is no promise of tomorrow. Our age is nothing. Well, I'm still in the younger, you know, I'm still in my 20s. I'm still in my 30s. There's always tomorrow. No, there's not. No promise. Look with me at Psalm 90. Psalm 90, verse 9. It says, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Lord, teach us to number our days and not just assume that. How many days have you been? I don't know. How many days do you have left? I don't know. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to Christ. Christ, who is wisdom. Verse 13, he said, return, O Lord, how long? Let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy. Satisfy us with your mercy. We don't have, who knows how many more days we have. Satisfy us right now with your mercy. This is what it is to seek wisdom. Lord, I'm not promised the next breath. Satisfy me right now with your mercy. Settle my heart on your mercy. Verse 14, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us. Make us glad that you would afflict us. If it showed us you and brought us to you, yes. He went on to say, in the years wherein we've seen evil, let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Lord, use this reality of the brevity and frailty of our life to turn us to you. Use us seeing that reality to turn us to your mercy. And turn us to the gracious work of your hands. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to Christ. Wisdom, our only hope, Christ before God. All right, go back to Psalm 39. I'll be quick. Psalm 39, verse 5. The end of verse 5. He said, "Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity, emptiness." And it's just so. We could spend a lot of time on that, but it's just so. Verse 6, "Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them." And again, that's so. You know, you just build and build and pile and then leave it for somebody else. "And now, Lord, what wait I for?" David said, everything here is empty. And he was a king. This man was a king who had servants and possessions. But he said, what would I want to wait around here for? There's nothing here for me. Now again, as bleak as this sounds, I pray to God that He'll bring every single one of us to this place. I pray He will. From this place, our hearts cry, "You're my hope. You're my all. You're all that I have. My hope is in Thee and Thee alone. Everything that I've lost in this world, I found in You. I found life in You. I found strength in You. I have found all fullness in You. I found all hope in You." And it's true. In this world, when I look around, it seems all hope is lost. And then I turn my eyes to You, and there it is. We have a brother who just brought a message to us recently that was titled, "Reasons for Our Hope." You may remember it a few weeks ago. Reasons for Our Expected Anticipation. Expected anticipation in Christ. And he very clearly pointed out to us that the reason for the hope that is in all of God's people, the foundation and the confidence of the hope that is in God's people for Christ, is the cross of Calvary. The cross of Calvary. Thank God for the cross of Calvary. Oh, what Christ accomplished on the cross of Calvary. Our hope is built on nothing less than the Lord Jesus' blood and righteousness. Everything else is empty, but not that. I mean, you want to lay hold of something that is absolute fullness, an absolute foundation that will never fade away. The work of the cross of Calvary, the blood, the righteousness. Everything else will fail, but not Him. "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies." That means the mercies of the cross, the sufferings of the cross, the willing kindness of Christ giving Himself to provide forgiveness to His people through His cross. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning." David is spending all of this time saying everything's going away. Everything's vanishing away. It's all crumbling. You can't count on it. But he said the Lord's mercies, in what He gave to His people, he said they are brand new every single morning. In all of their fullness. He said, "Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him." I hope in Him. In this current world of emptiness and vanity and frailty, We have a current hope in Christ our Savior. You know, David was constantly saying, don't put your trust in princes. Don't put your trust in horses. Don't put your trust in anything but that man alone. Peter said, we have a living hope. Him. Living hope. Paul said it's an eternal hope. A current, living, eternal hope in His mercy. A current, living, eternal hope in His grace, which is Himself. The gift of Himself. The gift of His blood. Psalm 119 says this hope is in His Word. David said, I hope in Your Word. I am hoping in Your Word. We're banking everything on His Word, aren't we? Galatians 5 says it's in His righteousness. How am I going to get in? Don't you have to be as perfect to God as God to get in? How am I going to get in? His righteousness. All of my hope is in His righteousness. Ephesians 1 says our hope is in His calling. Colossians 1 says our hope is in His glory. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Titus 1 says this hope is in His eternal life. And Titus 2 says our hope is in His return. He's coming back. He's coming back. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, Jesus Christ is our hope. After all the hindrances of this life are removed and all of the expectations of this life fade away, that's when God's people find themselves in a place where they can honestly say, Lord, my hope is in Thee. It is in Thee. Verse 8, He said, deliver me from all my transgressions. My hope's in You. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. My hope's in You. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth because You did it. My hope's in You. Remove Thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of Thy hand. When Thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, Thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. All it takes is just one word from You, one stroke of the hand, and man sees it's all vanity. Every man is vanity. So He said in verse 12, hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not Thy peace at my tears. For I am a stranger with Thee and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. Oh, spare me that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. What He's saying is, Lord, You are all that I have. That's what it is to have all of our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to say to Him, You are all that I have. You're all I have before God. You're all I have before man. You're all that I plead. You're all that I need. My hope is in You. Now, if that happens to be your plea, if that happens to be your hope, if that's the condition you have been brought to, where you can say, I have nothing but Him. If that is you, then turn with me to Psalm 146. We'll close with this. Psalm 146. Verse 5. It says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Can you say that even with everything in this world turning to emptiness right in front of your eyes? Can we really say that? I believe we can. There is no happier state in life than the state of having no other hope but Christ the Lord. That is the happiest state there is. His salvation, His blood, His mercy, His grace, His kindness, His favor, Him. Everything that is Him. Happy is the man or woman whose hope is the Lord. May God make him to be all our hope.